Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Clint Sterner is on his honeymoon in Mexico in... Is Mr. Smith Tay, Wade Smith, 12-year into NFL vet, former Houston Texan. And if you missed it, J.J. Watt himself broke the news. The Arizona Cardinals and J.J. Watt agree to a deal. J.J. is going 2 years, $31 million, includes $23 million guaranteed. And Sleazy, Wade was just walking down the halls with that villain laugh from the movies, just villain laughs, just at that. That's what he was. He just turned and looked at me in the hallway and just started doing that. All right, so
you got to laugh not to cry, bro. When I saw it, it was uncontrollable laughter.
What was the laughter? Where he was going?
Of course it was where he was going. Where I saw a post on Instagram, maybe it was a couple of days ago over the weekend, some point I saw the post from DeAndre Hopkins, and I saw it in passing, and I saw J.J. in that black jersey, and I was like, he looked kind of clean in that jersey. But then I just kept on scrolling because I was like, I just don't see it happening. You know, all the reports out there is that, you know, he's going to end up in Green Bay or Pittsburgh or Baltimore, all of these places that made a lot of sense. And then just as it went on, it's like, oh, hell, like the chances of that being the place, you might look at it and say it's poetic justice just with how crazy the situation has been here in Houston for the past, you know, 18 months, going on 2 years now. But, I mean, how can you not look at this and not laugh? Because if you don't laugh, you're going to start crying. And we ain't got time for crying. You know, hey, I'm going to laugh to keep from crying.
Tom,
because
thanks.
you got to the point where there's so much going on in the organization and so many things that have happened negatively to the Texans over the past, over the past 2 years, and much of it has been self-inflicted. Like, hey, J.J. is going to Arizona to join back up with DeAndre Hopkins. He's joining back up with Vance Joseph. I know a lot of people are talking about that this shows that he really didn't want to win a championship. He just wanted out of Houston. He wanted out of Houston, but the reason he wanted out of Houston, to me, is what the problem is.
This show, and people feel that way?
Huh?
People feel like this is a move that, I mean, I'm surprised he didn't go to the Packers, which I'm sure we'll discuss, but this team fits the elements of a team that's on a ride. Like,
yeah, they got a young quarterback that is super talented. They're building pieces around him. He has two guys beside. He's going to have Hassan Reddick and Chandler Jones. And I don't know if they're going to re-sign Hassan Reddick, but if they do,
they seem to be serious.
That three-headed monster as a pass rush, that's a problem. Then he's playing in the NFC West where there's no good offensive lines that he's going to have to go against. So that's six games against slouches. J.J. is going to do numbers out there, and that team is up and coming. I know people were talking about J.J. going to certain places where if he went to Tampa Bay, he's just ring chasing. I mean, you could explain it away with Green Bay because he's from the area. So if he goes there, even though that's a team that's right there on the cusp, that puts him in the best position to win a championship. But if you go to Tampa Bay, he has no connection there. If you go there, you're just joining up with Tom Brady to win a championship. And people were having – they felt some type of way about that. Like, if he goes to Tampa Bay, he's just literally ring chasing. And what does that mean for your legacy? It's not quite Kevin Durant, but it's, you know, it's something similar to that where you're just joining up with the already made super team. Well, the Arizona Cardinals, they're a team that is right there on the cusp of they should have been a playoff team last year. They were 8-8. They were a playoff team. Kyler Murray gets hurt down the stretch. And after he gets hurt, they couldn't finish. They couldn't close the deal and make it into the playoffs. But you add J.J. Watt, you get Chandler Jones back. They have draft picks. They have money to where they can make moves. They're a team that you can say J.J. Watt coming there is the catalyst for them getting over the hump to compete with the big boys in the NFC, like the Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Green Bay Packers. And so it's going to be fun to watch. I'm going to be honest with you.
Fun to watch? Yeah. Is that what you're going to let them be fun to watch?
My perspective is a little different. These are my guys. We bled together. We won and lost ball games together. So I want to see those guys be successes. I was happy for the Broncos when they won a championship with Gary Kubiak as the head coach. Because half the damn team was my old teammates. Yeah. You know, so these are – this is a similar situation. I'm going to be happily hoping that the Cardinals do well this year because Hop is there. Vance Joseph is there, and now J.J. is there. And I'm sure they're not done because bringing in J.J. means that now there's going to be more pieces outside of the building that are going to want to join up, and there's going to be more pieces within the building that are undrafted free agents that might want to stay because they feel like they're serious about winning right now.
Clint is out. Wade Smith is in. And this is the thing that I think really – because if you look at it, he's in the NFC.
Yeah,
they do play the Cardinals this year. And by the way, as I tweeted out earlier, the league should go ahead week one right now and schedule Texans at Cardinals.
Must see TV.
Maybe the only that the Texans could be a real national story unless the thing continues with Deshaun all year. But outside of that, this seems to be a tolerable destination spot for Texans fans to deal with. He goes with Hop. The Cardinals aren't like the Patriots, some great team that you hate. This seems to be tolerable. But the thing that I think, and I look in Tyler's eyes, the biggest fan, and we're going to have to do mental checks on T. Sleazy today because yeah. I don't know if he's going to be all right.
Houston in general.
And many fans are listening and will probably hear this, is the thing that probably rips you apart is you're seeing the Arizona Cardinals handle their young quarterback that's showing promise in a way that you wished that the Houston Texans handled their quarterback when they showed promise. They didn't look at the Texans and say, that's the way to do it. Nope. They looked over there with the Chiefs and said, what the hell did they keep doing with Patrick Mahomes? They just start getting him stuff. And what did they start doing last year with Kyler? They start getting him. And then they had the Texans make a sucker move to give them a trade, even though I
deluxe
was
a nut package.
Yes, even though I was a fan, I thought that David Johnson was going to come back. I consistently said they didn't get enough value for him. It was not a good trade in terms of value. I just thought David Johnson wasn't football dead yet. But when you look at what Arizona's doing, they're adding Hopkins last year. They're now adding J.J. Watt. And you started to see they built a little bit before he got there, right, to have things ready. They add Simmons in the draft from Clemson last year, who looks like he could be a star. Their offense, and then they're not having to give up major assets to do it. The only major asset they gave up was a second-round pick. But then you can wash that away with the money they saved with David Johnson. And they signed him. They didn't have to give up major assets like, for instance, the Texans did with Tunsil. Even though I think they needed to do something, or Deshaun was going to have some real problems if they didn't address that. But the Cardinals didn't have to do that. Now the Cardinals have Kyler in year three, who is showing that he could take the step to be an MVP candidate, because in the middle of the year he was, Wade.
He was right there with him.
In the middle of the year.
Yeah.
And now they're putting parts around him. They have all of their draft picks right now. They were 17 plus million under the cap before they signed J.J. Like, they're doing everything that Texas fans say, damn it, that's what should have been happening with Deshaun Watson. That's probably the piece that hurts Texans fans the most.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not, Cody.
So listen, man, we've been saying this for years now. I never understood the thought process behind trading away DeAndre Hopkins and trading away your best players from the roster when you had a guy that was young and you're taking his weapons away. It just never made sense to me. And so what you're seeing from the Arizona Cardinals is them taking a page out of what Seattle did back in the day when they won a Super Bowl. They won a Super Bowl and went to the they went to back-to-back Super Bowls with Russell Wilson on his rookie deal. And they're adding pieces to the puzzle and allowing him to be the best he can be while you got him at a discount. Because once you have to pay him, now it's going to be tougher to keep those pieces around. You're going to start sending guys away. And so that's what the Cardinals are doing. They know they have two more years of Kyler where he's not going to be hitting them over the head. For sure, 1 year. And I think more teams should wait to that fourth year before they
even if
pay
they
guys.
Don't, they'll right. move the money to where it's
right.
not.
Right, it doesn't affect it you doesn't that affect first you. Year. Yeah, but that gives them 2 years. And those 2 years that J.J. is under contract where he's taking up $15 million of the salary cap, it doesn't matter because they have the room to do it because they're not paying their franchise guy. It's just smart business, and it's like you said, the Chiefs did that. There's other teams that have done it that way, and I don't understand why the Texans didn't do it that way, but it's catching up to them. And now it feels like that, you know, I tell you what, man, the Cardinals are going to be sending all kind of Christmas gifts and thank you cards to the Texans organization because, listen, they have gotten two out of the top, let's say, five or six players in the history of the franchise within a year's time. And they didn't have to give up hardly anything to get him?
And you see, the Cardinals saw enough after year one. And their record wasn't great, but you could see after year one, they said, let's go. We got a guy, and this is the time. It's going to be our best opportunity the next 4 years. It's our best opportunity because we don't have to pay him yet.
Yeah.
We don't have to pay him big, big astronomical money yet. Where we've seen no quarterback has really been successful at winning a Super Bowl when they're hitting their team over the head for huge money. Nobody, like really big money. And so they said, let's go. Let's jump on it. And they're doing and they're adding it. And now they've put themselves in a situation. Now, you could think that they're not going to win the NFC. The West is
tough. For sure.
Green Bay is tough. Tampa, the champions are tough. But they've put themselves in a real position where, all right, we've got a young quarterback. This is the absolute most time we can put more pieces and have more resources to put pieces around him to give ourselves a chance to win.
It gives you an opportunity to compete now, but it also doesn't keep you from being able to compete in the future once Kyler does get paid. Because J.J. Watt is a two-year deal. After those 2 years are up, Kyler will be getting paid right as those years end. And then now you just shifted the money from J.J., to Kyler Murray, but the salary cap is still growing. You still have your picks. You didn't give away your future in order to do that. We didn't do that here in Houston, and so this is the result of those decisions. Is now because JJ doesn't want out if those decisions aren't made. That's another piece of this that people aren't really necessarily understanding. It's not that JJ wanted out because he just wanted out of Houston. He saw the decisions that were being made, and he said, all right, I need to get up out of here. J.J. didn't want to have to leave Houston. Of course he wanted it to work here. But because of all the decisions that were made, he said, there's no way I'm going to get it done here. We're in rebuild mode. And you're in a rebuild mode without assets. Now, how do you expect to rebuild if you don't have assets? That is the problem. That's the problem that the Texans have put themselves in. And that's unfortunate, and that's why I'm going to laugh and not cry. Because if I cry, then I get upset. I get upset, then I start saying things and doing things that are unbecoming. So I'm just going to laugh. Here's what it is.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the part that hits Texans fans the most, is watching the Cardinals handle their young quarterback that's up and coming the way that teams probably should. No, probably about it. The way that teams should comparative to what the Texans did with their young quarterback. All right, here is the next thing. All right, now that JJ is gone and it looks like going to Arizona, it looks like the Cardinals in win now mode. Are the Cardinals done with X or potentially X Texans players? Is there another Texan that they want to get their hands on? We'll discuss that next. Oh, God, Deshaun.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
J. J.J. Watt is an Arizona Cardinal. No joke, folks. You are awake, Houston. He is an Arizona Cardinal. Yes, him and DeAndre Hopkins went to the same damn place. In the last 2 years, you've lost DeAndre Hopkins, J.J. Watt, two members of – calm down, Tyler. Two members of the future Ring of Honor under 32. You've lost them to the Arizona Cardinals, one of the one of the terrible franchises.
Yes,
throughout
consistently
the years.
Bad. How about
Arizona,
that?
The Arizona Cardinals. You've lost.
They've been to a Super Bowl though.
Two of your better players, but outside of that, the Bidwell family's been pretty rough. They get two of your best players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But will it just be two? Will it just be two? Because the word on the street, a thing that would really do a lot of Texan fans right in, maybe make you feel happy here if you're delusional enough to think it could occur. Maybe they go after Deshaun Watson now. Maybe that's the, maybe they are. Deshaun's apparently wants to be traded. He could be on the block. Do they go after Deshaun Watson? And yes, in theory, you think, hey, bring the Texas kid here. Bring Kyler Murray here.
Metroplex kid comes back home to the great state of Texas. It makes a lot of sense, right?
There is no way in hell Kyler Murray would go along with the trade. Now, folks, hopefully you're learning right now the power that some of these players have. You think, well, if he gets traded, he has to come.
He got to go, right?
There is
He's
no
under contract.
Way
He's
Kyler
on
Murray
deal.
Would tell Cal McNair, Jack, Nick, the trio, I'm not going to play for the Houston Texans. I will sit this puppy down. And there's no way that Cal, Jack, and Nick can make that deal if they don't have assurances that Kyler Murray is going to come there. So, to me, this is a dead conversation. There's no way that the Texans or the Cardinals could pull off acquiring Deshaun Watson.
There's a way that they can make it happen, Show. There's a way that they can trade for Deshaun Watson, but it's not the way that you conventionally would look at it. Because, like you said, if the Texans tried to trade for Kyler Murray tomorrow, Kyler Murray would say, hell no, I'm not going to Houston. This is not going to work for me. And if that's the case, you can't be a franchise and trade for a guy that doesn't want to come to you. That just doesn't make any sense. You're killing yourself in the process by doing that.
Got to get the Deshaun Watson trade right.
But this is how you make this trade happen. You take Kyler Murray and you trade him to the Carolina Panthers, or you trade him to the Denver Broncos, one of these teams that's already in the market for a quarterback.
Or the Jets or the Dolphins who have higher picks.
Yes, you trade them to one of those teams, and then you take those picks from those franchises that Kyler would be amenable to going to. He's not going to trip if you trade him to Carolina. He can see that there's something being built there. He can see there's some pieces that can be around him there.
He'd definitely go to Miami. That's a similar situation that he was just in.
To me, the more realistic places are Denver and Carolina, and I'm going to stick with those two. But if you trade him there, you take those resources from that trade and you couple that together to trade to the Houston Texans for Deshaun Watson. That's the only way you – because if you try to say, I'm going to trade Kyler Murray – for Deshaun Watson, the problem, and some future first round picks or first round pick this year, future picks, Kyler Murray is gonna throw a monkey wrench into the plan, and so it's not gonna work. So what you do is you trade him to the New York Jets, or you trade him to the Carolina Panthers, or you trade him to the Denver Broncos, and all those picks and packages that they were willing to put together for Deshaun, you take those and you send those to Houston to get Deshaun Watson to Arizona, because when you're talking about trading human beings and trading people, and I know that they're assets. When we're talking about business, they're assets. But these are human beings that say, hey, I do want to play for a certain organization or I don't. And contrary to popular belief, some of these guys have leverage and some of them have other things they can do in life. Kyler Murray can just go and say, you know, I'll just play baseball then. I'm cool. I'll make more money playing baseball potentially and don't get hit upside the head and don't have to worry about broken ribs and all that type of stuff. but I'm not going to go to the Houston Texans right now. For what's been going on around here, I'm not going to be in that situation. And I believe Landry was talking about this earlier on In the Loop. He's been following Kyler Murray since from the jump, and I've been following him too just because he went to Allen High School in Metroplex and won every game when he was in high school. His dad is very much involved in what goes on in his life, in his business dealings, all that type of stuff. They're not going to just say, yeah, okay, cool, trade me to Houston and we'll be good with that. Because that means if you trade him to Houston, that means that he's going to have to do his long-term deal with the Houston Texans.
Yes.
That means he's going to have to believe in whatever process that they're putting together here, because once he gets traded to Houston, they have his rights for at least 4-5 more years.
And he's putting himself in, now we're talking about the coaching and the talent-wise, he's putting himself in potentially the worst situation in the NFL when you're trying to get your first big contract as a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, you put yourself in a situation where he is on the climb right now of potentially setting the market for the quarterback. Like, whenever it's his turn in a couple of years, he's going to get the next big deal. Let him come here and have a couple of tough years with this crew that is set up right now. I don't know. Maybe Nick's got a magic wand that this whole coaching staff and offense will look different and team will look different. But let him. No, he's changing the entire place that he would be in terms of earning that contract. No. That may be the way you could do it. But still, for me, if I'm the Texans, the Broncos and the Panthers, those picks aren't going to be high enough for me to make the deal. That's why, to me, it's got to be the Dolphins or the Jets. Because, like,
you got to remember, Arizona would be giving up some of their own picks as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this hypothetical.
No, I hear you, but there's not one that would be over 8 or 9 if it's dealing with the Dolphins.
I think you're looking at it as Panthers, because I got to pick my quarterback this year, and I don't see it that way. I don't see the Texans looking at it that way. If that's the case, then they have to trade with the Jets, or they have to trade with the Jacksonville Jaguars so that they can get, you know, Trevor Lawrence, or they can get – I don't even think they – I mean, Zach Wilson, to me, in my scenario we talked about the other day when I talked about it with John McClain, I don't want to draft Zach Wilson. What I'd rather do is take that number 2 overall pick. If I'm the Texans and I trade Deshaun to New York, I want to take that number 2 overall pick, and I want to trade back. And I want you to Jets, send me Sam Darnold, send me a bunch of one, you know, the first round, the 2 first round picks this year and the next 3 years on draft day. Give me all of those ones, and then give me Sam Darnold. And I'll let Sam Darnold be my quarterback the next couple of years, and let's see what we got with Sam Darnold. Because Sam Darnold, I think he got a little something. I think he's been in a situation to where you really haven't seen the best out of him. I think he got a little something. So I'd rather vet that out, and then we'll figure out the quarterback going forward, because there's nothing about the way that Nick Caserio strikes me as a guy that's going to pick a quarterback with the number 2 pick in the draft. They've had Tom Brady for all of those years, but even then, they never invested that highly in a quarterback, even before Tom Brady got there. I mean, that's just not the Patriot way. I don't see that. So that's how you go about doing it. You can collect as many picks as possible. And so with the potential trade we're talking about with the Cardinals, hey, Cardinals, go get me, amass me a boatload of picks, a whole haul. Get what you can from the Panthers, or get what you can from the Denver, and then also couple that with some stuff you're going to send me over the next 3 years, and then we can make a deal. But Kyler Murray being part of it, and that's going to be how you're going to explain it away, that this is how it makes sense for you guys, because you get it. Because on paper, it makes sense. You get Kyler Murray on a rookie contract.
Oh, you can try to get excited about that.
You get excited about that, because now you got a couple of years. You can build around him. You're going to have, you know, Kyler Murray is not going to come to Houston, bro.
He will shut it down.
I'm cool. I'm not going to go there. That's the situation that we're in right now.
Fellas, as we're talking about here, Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner, who's on his honeymoon, as we're talking about this is going around. Oh, maybe the Texans will trade Deshaun to Arizona and get Kyler Murray. I want to say this point. I don't think Arizona's thinking that, though. Like, I think Arizona's ready to roll with Kyler Murray. I think right now Deshaun Watson's a better player than Kyler, but I think Arizona believes in Kyler Murray.
I'm sure they do.
I think they hire the coach that fits what that he wants to do in Cliff Kingsbury. So with this is a conversation, you can see it's thrown out there, but I think Arizona is ready to make these moves to help Kyler. and not make these moves to help potentially Deshaun down the line.
And that's the whole point of it, because what I'm seeing from Arizona is they have a plan and they're following through with their plan. We can throw hypotheticals out there and vet out some of the things that people are throwing out on social media and say, oh, yeah, how would they get Deshaun? This is how he would get him. But it doesn't make sense based off of what they've done up until this point that they would even trade Kyler Murray away. What they're going to do is say, hey, we are going to continue to add to what we already have, and then we're going to build around this guy that we believe in. Remember, they got rid of their first-round pick the year before because they believed so much in Kyler Murray. They got rid of Josh Rosen because they would say, Kyler Murray wouldn't draft with the number one overall pick, even though we had a first-round pick. I think Josh Rosen was, what, top five?
10.
He was number 10. Yeah. Number 10 in the draft, and so they got rid of him the very next year. So, yeah, I don't see them doing it this way, but if it was going to happen, that's how it would happen. They would have to trade because Kyler Murray was not going to want to get traded here, so they have to figure out, they have to get creative if they wanted to get Deshaun into Arizona. But Deshaun, he's going to go somewhere, but Arizona does not strike me as the location that he ends up.
All right, the big story of the day is Wade Smith is in for Clint Sterner. He is out. The big story of the day, J.J. Watt is joining DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona. And yes, you should have concerns about your new general manager, Nick Caserio. We'll prove to you why.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
J.J. Watt, he is gone and finally has a new home. He's joining a guy you all know very well, DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona. And Wade, the big part about it is the actual deal. 2 years, $31 million, just over $15 million per, and then $23 million of it guaranteed. And see now, Wade, last week, You've been wanting to tell me now, hey, now, look, Nick, and I tried to say Nick and Jack, but you said just Nick.
Don't do that.
This is Nick and Jack too. But you said Nick is doing stuff that makes sense, and yes,
yeah,
I agreed with you. Mm-hmm. The move for Nick Martin made sense.
Yep.
You know, Duke Johnson, Dave, whatever, but he's starting to make some moves that make sense, right? That's what you said. You said give him a chance. I'm giving him a chance. I told you I was out after he hired David Culley and decided after 20 years of being around Bill Belichick, this is the head coach that I'm going to go with. And the first time I get to hire a head coach, I was out then. This did not help my concern level with Nick Caserio and Jack Easterby running the show. It is hard for me to believe, Wade, that the Texans really, really, really looked hard into the trade market for J.J. Watt. Because many people tried to say, oh, it's that 1 year, $17 million. That's what's going to stop people from making – that's why he's untradeable. Bull. He just got $31 million over 2 years and got nearly $17 million. And we were hearing last week reports from Diana Rossini of ESPN that he had gotten offers up to $16 million for multiple teams. For them, with the issues they have in the draft, to not explore, which it doesn't seem like they really did. I got concerns with Nick on this one, Wade. Like, they had to get something out of J.J.
What you say makes a lot of sense. I think at first glance it makes a lot of sense. But this is the problem. I don't feel like Nick Caserio had much of a influence or much of a – it was. I don't think it was his call. Because based off of what J.J. Watt said, he said, I went to the McNair's house. I went to speak with them. Sat down and met with them and let them know that I wanted to leave, that I wanted to, you know, leave the Houston Texans. And I asked them for my release and they agreed. And so we mutually agreed to part ways. He went above Nick Caserio's head. So Nick Caserio, he just pulled up. And if the bosses say, nah, we're going to do right by JJ and let him call his own shot. And he's done so much for the city, so much for this community, so much for this organization that we're not going to put him through the whole process of, hey, we're going to try to find these list of teams that you might want to go to and see if we can work something out to get something for you. They said, no, we're going to let you go call your own shot. And so I can't really put that on at the feet of Nick Caserio, although at first glance you would say, yeah, a GM is supposed to try to get as much out of any and every asset that he has on the roster. That's just part of the deal when you're building your team. But I think this went above his head. And so because it went above his head, I really can't point the finger at Nick Caserio and say, I have a problem with it. Or with him.
If Jack wanted to make it happen, Jack could have convinced who he needed to convince to make this happen. That's the other wild card in this. I'm sorry. That's just not good enough.
I hear that.
That's just not good enough.
Jack doesn't get in his position without knowing when to pick and choose your battles. It's like being in a marriage. You're not going to fight over every little thing. You're not going to debate over every little thing. That's part of the marriage advice I want to give to Clint Sterner. Shout out to the Sterners. Recently married this weekend. I heard the wedding was exceptional. But
beautiful.
You're not going to fight every battle with your spouse. It's full hard, especially if you're the husband, because you're going to lose that. You got to pick and choose your battles. So if you're Jack Easterby, you don't get into that role without understanding, hey, there's certain things I'm going to fight about, certain things I'm not going to fight about. I find it interesting that Jack Easterby didn't post anything about J.J. Watt's release when he got released. He retweets about everything else, but not about that. So that tells me he was like, hey, this is one of them things I'm not going to involve myself in. This is the boss's.
This is one he tapped out on.
Yeah, I'm not going to even get myself involved in that. So I can't put that at the feet of Nick Caserio. I just think that was something that was worked out between J.J. and the McNairs.
And
that is as high as it goes in this organization.
And that is very – you could see that happening. You could see that this was above them. But wouldn't you think if you're Nick Caserio, we have a conversation before this? Before, like, we know the J.J. thing is on the table.
Right.
We have a conversation. Like, man, you got to at least let me take a look at what we can get, because you could have satisfied this. You mean they could have traded. And I'll be honest, the Arizona Cardinals owed the Texans one foot. They could have, like, we couldn't have said, hey, JJ, where do you want to go? Where, like, hey, let's scratch each other's backs. Where do you want to go?
Yeah.
We can get this done with Arizona. They've got a second. They got a third. We know they got a fourth. They've got those picks. Like, we can make this happen. Man, that's not good enough for Nick Manning. You're going to be the GM. You got to have some backbone, too. And I'm not – I don't know how it went. But I'm just like, we got to have a conversation. No, let me give him what he wants, but we got to at least see if we can get what we want. And if you look at the money he just got for them, God, I just can't believe Arizona, if pitted against Cleveland and Green Bay, wouldn't have made this deal and given up a third or fourth round pick for it. Third round pick for
him.
You see how they value him.
Yeah, you make a good point. But who's to say that they didn't have that conversation? Remember at the press conference with the McNairs, when Caserio was first hired, they talked about how JJ and 4-99 were both in the plans for the future of the Houston Texans, right? So they have been talking about what's going to happen with those two guys in the future. And so I'm sure Nick Caserio did ask that question. Hey, can we figure out a way to get something out of this? And I'm sure that the McNairs probably said, no, it's not worth it. Listen, we want to allow him to do what he wants to do. And this is where we sit. That decision, although I would have loved to have gotten an extra pick out of this, I understand where the McNairs are coming from. Because of everything that JJ's like, listen, we're going to do this one solid for you. You've done over and beyond anything anyone could have asked for JJ Watt when he was drafted in 2011.
So you're okay with this move with them? You're okay with them not
okay
getting
with it, and I don't mind it. I understand why it went down the way it went down. I'm not going to hold that against Caserio. I'm not going to hold that against the McNairs. I'm not going to hold that against anyone involved, because once you get to a certain status within the organization, there are things that exceptions that are made for you. Like, JJ had exceptions made for him throughout the time that he was with this organization. He got his deals done before other people got their deals done, because he was JJ Watt and what he brought to the organization. He what he brought to the city. When he finally says, all right, I've given you all I could give, but now I want out. And they say, you know what, you're right. We're going through a certain period right here, and what we're trying to do and what you're trying to do just don't match up. We're gonna let you go. I don't mind that. I don't mind. I don't, being okay with it and not minding it, I think, are two different things. Because okay with it says you're condoning it. I look at it like, listen, they're the owner of the franchise, and that relationship that they have with J.J. Watt is on a level to where I understand why they made that decision.
Yeah.
That's where I am with it.
They haven't given a rip about how anybody has felt, including guys like J.J. because if they gave a rip about how J.J. felt and they wanted to do solid, there's a guy in that front office that wouldn't be there today. So they're like so you
some
can,
people are untouchable.
You can flip coins about things that they've done over the years. Have they given a rip about what J.J. has wanted now?
They got Bill
okay,
out of there.
I just just want you to be consistent.
They got Bill O'Brien like out of there, right? J.J. made his statement about there's got to be a change, and within, I don't know, 24 hours, he was gone.
Yeah, Jack had to make that happen.
Yeah, well.
I don't know, man. Like, at one point, like, we've been talking about this with Deshaun. Hey, at some point, the Texans got to make the best decision possible for the Texans and what they're going to do. Well, hell, you could have gotten J.J. to go to a place he wanted to go and gotten a draft pick, because if we remember, the Texans don't have very many draft picks.
Mm-mm.
Now that became more important than you sitting here chilling with the third and fourth pick right now. Third and fourth round picks right now. That's what that became more important to. We'll go out to you, 713-572-4610. Your thoughts on this, Rodney? Let me let you jump in here. Go ahead, Rodney.
You got it.
Let's take him down, man. Rodney's phone is struggling. Hopefully we can get you where you're sounding better coming through, because we do want to hear from you. 713-572-4610. We do want to hear from you. Tyler, how's your mental check? Man, we need to do a mental check on Tyler and a lot of other fans. JJ's gone to Arizona now, and I'm sure you couldn't have picked a more perfect team. How you doing, man? Are you all right?
Man,
I get worried about you sometimes, man. Your fandom is as strong as I've ever seen in my life.
Man, I know Mr. Cal McNair and Mr. Jack Easterby want to really make us believe that this isn't Patriots South as we watch the Cardinals become Texans West. But, man, I think the dumpster fire continues to burn, and I think I'm getting numb to it, man. I think I'm getting to a point where it's like.
Oh, that's scary. You've reached that point where you're not getting pissed anymore?
It's like when that news broke today, I thought I would be, you know, furious, upset, something, and I just kind of looked at it on my phone and was like, oh, well, another one.
How many people are there? 713-572-4610. You can text it. Tyler is the number one Houston fan that I know. How many people have reached the point? Because that's when it's bad. You talked about relationships and stuff before. Or I'm sure if you're an athlete and you've had a coach, when the coach stops yelling at you.
Yeah. That means it's time for you to go. When he stops showing interest or caring about whether you do good or bad, that's when they're about to tap out. And you're about to be out of the organization. So yeah, it's very similar. That's the place that the Texans organization least want the fan base to get to where they are just completely numb to everything.
Text line coming in. We're all numb.
Sad.
My God.
People got numb before Deshaun got traded.
He hasn't even been traded. He's still on the roster.
That's why I don't think if some are texting in, yes, I am numb, or I've become callous to bad news.
We got some hard people here in Houston, though. You're talking about going through it. Let's over the past. Let's start, because it didn't just start with Harvey, because we were getting flooded before then. You got like the Memorial Day flood. This is before you came or even heard about it. Houston has dealt with some stuff just since I've been here. But over the past, let's say, 5 years, we've gone through it, sports-wise, real life-wise. And so after a while, you just be like, hey, man, this is another hit we want to take, but we'll take it on the chin to keep on pushing because it's H-Town. It's still, when you look at where J.J. Watt ended up going.
Oh, God, I couldn't believe it.
He's going to Arizona to join with DeAndre Hopkins. And there was a lot of other fan base that had turned on DeAndre Hopkins, because DeAndre Hopkins keeps on.
Yeah, he won't stop.
He keeps turning that knife. You know, he'll still throw a tweet out there every now and again just to let it be known that, yeah, make the team better, or TEAM, all of those different things that went on, and they said I'm only worth the second round pick. And so people was like, nah, forget you, Hop. That's why you didn't make the playoffs this year, so on and so forth. And J.J. decided I'm going to go there and join him. That's a right hook to the gut, but hey, we got abs of steel here in the city of H-Town, because we done been through it over the years, and this is just another shot. I know I'm gonna look at it like this. I'm happy that JJ and DeAndre Hopkins are back on the same team again because they never should have been separated. So they're back together again. I'm happy for that. I want to see them be successful.
It's tough, man. I expected a – because Tyler can get himself good, man. I will look back there, and sometimes if you hear me chuckling, it's because, like, Tyler will look like a manager who just disagreed with three straight balls and strike calls, but he's going off in the dugout, and he's losing, and you see stuff being thrown.
Mm-hmm.
I look back there, and we're having a conversation that Tyler's in there losing it. Just going off, yelling at people, just yelling at.
What are we doing?
But Tyler is just, he's just, okay, kick me in the nuts again. Kick me in the nuts again. It's all right. I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you, Houston. All right. Clint Sterner is out. Wade Smith, 12-year NFL vet, is in. Former Houston Texan. Let's roll over to a team that Houston believes in. All right. The Astros, they played their first game yesterday, and they lost to the Marlins 6-1, but who gives a damn? The real thing of note to me is Zach Greinke finally spoke again. Zach Greinke finally spoke again, and for some reason, Zach Greinke doesn't have to report with the pitchers and catchers. He just reports, well, never the hell Zach wants to report, which I find very laughable. Dusty Baker, for now, the second year in training camp, has no clue where Zach is. When's Zach coming in?
Greinke will do what Greinke will do.
This year it was, I don't know when Grinky's going to come in, but sure he'll get here on time at some point. So he reported after the position players did, which is insane. But Greinke spoke to the media for the first time. Here's a little bit of what Zach had to say.
Since I started throwing all year long, my arms felt a lot better and doesn't get as sore when spring training starts.
Good.
And feel stronger, and then working out, yeah. I mean, I guess I work out different than most people. I just work out when I want to work out, kind of, and do whatever I feel like doing that day. And so that's what I'm still doing, and feel pretty good.
Thanks, Zach, for that.
He just kind of works out like whenever he feels like working out, and I do what I feel like doing. And
Greinke, hadn't really seen Greinke.
Yeah, that's Zach Greinke for you. What another great year we will have with Zach Greinke. I cannot wait till the next time he has to speak to the media. I will, however, Wade and Tyler say this about Zach. Zach Greinke is really, really important to this team, and not just, of course, Ron. He makes the most amount of money on the team.
Yeah.
But he's really important to the staff because, like, you got to have somebody in there where Dusty Baker and Brett Strom have a real feeling like, I know what I'm going to get from him. And he's got to be. There's no Verlander. So Zach Greinke's got to be the guy that at least you know what you're going to get. I mean, you know, all right, Zach's going to come out, though, as 87, 88. He's going to give me 5-6 innings of winnable baseball. I know consistently what he's going to do because everyone else around him in the potential guys in the rotation, they're more talented than him, some of them, but you're not necessarily sure what you're going to get day in and day out. Like, I'm excited to see how Framber Valdez comes back because he looked like a number one. Like, he looked like a guy that's a front-of-the-rotation guy. But now teams are going to see him.
Yeah.
And batters are going to see him. And you could see ebbs and flows
mm-hmm.
with Framber. Now we see Lance McCullers coming off. Now year two of Tommy John. He's been injured a lot, too. He's not really been consistent for a full season. You could see some up and downs like we saw from him last year. Same with Jose Urquidy, Christian Javier, the same thing. You need a steady cat, and that's why Zach Greinke is really, really important for Dusty and them to know exactly what they're going to get. He's got to be consistent.
Yeah, you got to have that guy that you know what you're going to get out of him, start in and start out, and then you can start building around him with all the other arms you got in the bullpen, in the starting lineup. And so that's what you're going to get out of Zach Greinke. Dealing with Zach Greinke, it's one of those KYP situations. Know your personnel. You know that Zach Greinke is a quirky guy. He does things his way. It's not going to be the way that everybody else does it, but it works for him. And as long as it works for him, that means it's going to work for us as an organization. We know what we're going to get out of him. Like you said, a solid six innings, an outing. And if you have that now, you can build your bullpen around that.
Yes.
As far as how many innings get ate up by those guys. And that's important when you go through a whole season. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, they went on and decided that they're going to do a 162-game season. Have they decided that officially yet? Because I know that there was a proposal for doing like 144 games, and that got shot down.
I wanted to ask John Heyman about that last week, but he couldn't talk. So I didn't want to give
His voice was struggling.
I didn't want to give any extra added to him. But, yeah, I'm not sure about that. Maybe Tyler will look that up, and we'll have that at some point. But, yeah, I thought it was going to be 154 or something, but we'll see. But anyway,
whatever it is, it takes away maybe a start or two throughout the season. You got to have that consistent guy there, and that's Zach Greinke. I'll be interested to see what goes on with the Frambers and their Kitties and the Javiers of the world to see if they can take another step forward. If they can take that step forward, then you're not necessarily counting on Lance McCullers because you really don't know what you're going to get. If you can get Lance McCullers from 3 years ago, you're playing with house money. Like you're way ahead of the curve. And so maybe that happens because you got the guy coming 2 years off of his Tommy John surgery, but you got a lot of talent in the starting rotation. And so now you're just trying to figure out what you're going to do as the leadoff hitter. Is Miles Strong going to be the ninth guy? Is actually going to start at center field? Are you going to be able to have him throughout the season and count on him? Who knows with that, but the Astros are going to be competitive. And if you're a Houston sports fan, there's one organization right now that you can trust that's going to be competitive this upcoming season, and it's the Houston Astros. So Zach Greinke is going to be a key piece to making that happen.
I liked your voice.
Wade Smith in. I like yours too, Zach. Wade Smith in for Clint Sterner. Coming up, the news of the day, J.J. Watt is headed to the Arizona Cardinals. We'll have the numbers, the amount of money he got, which is surprising to some, and what was your initial reaction? You don't want to miss Wade's. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.